when Chairperson comes in today, we are currently going to elect the acting Chairperson. I'm going to request members to nominate the person who will be the acting chair for this meeting today. Ms. Raputi?
Mina, good morning. And Leo Raputi, I'm nominating our whip, Mr. Honorable Nete, to be the chairperson of today's meeting.
Honorable Gumede has been nominated as a chairperson. Any seconder?
Morning. I second the nomination of Honorable Gumede to be our chairperson for today.
So any other nominations from the members?
I'm honorable. Okay, I elect honorable Rabut as a senior to chair this meeting.
Honorable Rabut has been nominated to be the acting chair.
I'm very empowered, and I know what I'm here for. So I have nominated because I'm also a leader. I thank you.
So it will seem as if there's no other nomination. It will seem as if there's no other nomination, Mr. Gumede. Can you please come to the front and take over for the heading of the meeting?
Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we cannot take it. Gumede was right.
Now, honorable members, thank you very much for having confidence in me. And I also thank you for gracing this important meeting and thus fulfilling your patriotic duty. It is important for us all, and thank you very much, honorable members. The agenda before us is opening, then apologies, consideration and adoption of a budget vote number 5, a report of the Department of Home Affairs, number 5, adoption of minutes of the 1st of April, number 6, briefing by the content advisor on the annual operation performance plan for 2016, and then closure. So, firstly, let us then come to the issue of apologies. I have one apology, written apology from Ms. S.J. Ngoma. And the chairperson, and then secondly, the chairperson of the committee who is attending to an urgent matter in the family. So those are the two issues. Those are the two apologies. Any acceptance? Apologies. Okay, then let us then continue, honorable members, and deal with the question of adopting the report. We dealt with this report last Friday and we made recommendations, and then I think it's just a question of adopting, except if there's one with a summary from the content advisor. The report we discussed last week, and then we are coming to adopt that report if we feel we are satisfied about the content in the report. That is where we are. If we are satisfied, let us have a proposal and a second. I know that that you have a lot of meetings, but you have to understand the content of the report. And I'm sure that you have read the report with the addendum, which is page 15, rising from the meeting last week. Thank you. It has been signated as a separate leaf, but it is an addendum emanating from discussion last week. Okay, let Dr. Salmon lead us through on the report. And the first we adopt and the report thereafter. Thank you.
Okay, so members have been given the report. I actually just wanted to show where the addendum that Jefferson requested that we put in something specifically mentioning medium-term strategic framework and the state of the nation events, which was distributed as a separate document. I just wanted to indicate where in the document was indicated, unless I should go through the entire report. But I think members have had it and had a chance to go through it. So rather than go through the entire report, I can take submissions on if anything wants the members want to contribute anything. Otherwise, I'll just indicate where that addendum has been inserted. So on page 2, point 2, there we have two paragraphs. The second paragraph there deals with MTDF, the medium-term strategic framework in short, and the chief asked me to add more details in his absence, which basically just mentions the priorities for the Department of Home Affairs and its entities going forward in the next 5 years. These are South Africa's borders are effectively defended, including the establishment of the BMA and an overarching strategy to defend, protect, secure, and ensure well-managed borders. Secondly, the identity of all persons in South Africa are known and secured. This is achieved through ensuring that registration at birth is the only entry point for South Africans with new and national identification system. And also that the biometric data is captured by all those exit South Africa legally. And improved streamlined regulations to reduce the burden of importing core and critical skills needed for the economy. So those are the 3 points there. Other than that, this is a summary of some of the key points from the contributions from the Department of Home Affairs that we discussed in their briefings, as well as the contributions from the IEC and GPW. The 14 points of government outcomes, of which Home Affairs contributes to 4, we've dealt with repeatedly. They do it in pretty much all their presentations. The progress made on the Border Management Agency, and then a summary of the increases and decreases to the various budget points, and main business proposals, including the need to innovate in regards to their network provision with the State Information Technology Agency, or with UPDEM for that matter. The budget analysis there is just a comparison from last year, and the budget analysis we distributed incomplete to members, and this is an extract from that, highlighting the main increases and decreases over the year, over the coming 3 years, in fact. Then on page 5, after paragraph 2, this is where I've inserted the second paragraph on that addendum, which relates to the State of the Nation address. Basically, the insert deals with the recession in the economy, and that there are a number of austerity measures in government in general, which Home Affairs will need to consider particularly, including limitations on international travel, reducing size of delegations, restrictions on conference, entertainment, and social functions, as well as abolishing budget representatives. As you'll notice, there won't be one on Friday. And then the main priorities for Home Affairs and for us to keep an eye on in the coming year in terms of how they administer their budget is a significant work that we undertaken to promote an inclusive and non-racial society. Home Affairs also has a role to play given the resurgence of anti-foreigner sentiment. Then secondly, the country should take advantage of recent changes in the visa regulations to boost inbound tourism. We've been briefed on how these have been changed already. We must make sure that they continue to innovate. Thirdly, while the preference is that employers should make prioritize local workers, South African migration policy must also make it possible to import scarce skills. In this regard, the draft migration policies have already been presented to cabinet and should be given to us during the course of the year. Fourthly, all citizens are encouraged to register to vote in the local government elections and to register, particularly those turning 18 this year. It's already indicated in IEC that there was an increase in registration and the chance of another registration weekend. Faster growth is required in order to achieve job creation and reducing inequality. The growth here is primarily going to be through the GPW, which is becoming a state entity and is going to increase its revenue and also contribute to improvements in security in the economy, and also then Home Affairs security increases as a result because of the smart ID cards, and that in turn makes the business more secure. So that's the general insertion there. We'll actually deal with it more in our annual performance plan as well, in terms of how specifically this committee will deal with monitoring the implementation of state discrimination recommendations or priorities. And then what we have is just a summary of the increase and decreases per program. As discussed, the real thing to note there is the last column on the next page, on page 6, which indicates that when considering inflation, there are considerable reductions in the citizen affairs budget. This is largely got to do with the expenditure allocated to the IC. They get more money the year before an election to get prepared for things, and then later in the year that comes. But it will also have an impact on the budget of the citizen affairs, which includes document IDs and things like that. So that's something to keep an eye on. Then we have a program analysis here, just looking at how the budget has increased and decreased across the various programs. Again, we've dealt with this fairly recently, so I'm not going to go into too much detail. Then there's various analyses which will help with going forward. I think then analysis from there is a sort of overview of what the GPW gave to us, making good progress towards the state of becoming a state-owned enterprise, and on the renovations to their various facilities, being well on track to give us a good audit finding also. The Legal Commission also well on track with the Legal Commission is now in place, and the appointment of temporary staff, and also kind of making pushing for progress on the electoral court and constitutional court ruling that might impact on the electoral and the elections later in the year. So basically, yeah, that's again a summary of everything there. Then what we've done is made committee observations, which basically just the highlights of issues that the members were raising during the discussions, and these in turn are reflected in the recommendations that at the recommendation that come under point 7 there. So the first come as observations, and then the recommendations are emanating out of those. I can go through them individually, but I believe members have time to look at it, so I think we can just say whether we want to proceed or should I go through it individually.
Thank you very much, Dr. Almon. I'm sure that most members have read the document, and then they understood what there was there in the document. And then if perhaps members feel that there is something then to add, perhaps it would be better to do it in the House in the form of debate, because we are all going to critically look at this report and then express our views. And there could be something that we want to highlight, but we cannot include everything in a report of this nature. But it is open for you to say whatever you like around this report when we debate, or around anything or home address on your date of debate. But this provides enough information for us to move on. Yeah.
Okay. Good morning. I agree with the view. Perhaps it's better that we save our comments for the debate, which we will do. But I just want to bring to your notice that from the Democratic Alliance side, on budget reports before the committee, you will understand that we have to take a mandate from our caucus, so I would accordingly be abstaining from adopting this report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Rafay. Honourable Shoken from the EA.
Thanks, Chair. I also want to make it very clear that the ZFF will reveal on the details or on the budget vote that will take place on Friday, but you want to reject for the onset. Must be recorded.
Thank you, Honourable Chairman. Yeah, in fact, that is sort of the democracy in motion. It is alive. Thank you very much, really, for considering it seriously. And as we move forward, really, we are prepared to have any nature of debate on any issue, really, on the day of the debate. Anybody supporting adoption?
Yeah, we are supporting. Because of us who are here, we are really benefiting from this.
Okay. Is there a mover?
We are moving. Because all of us, we are benefiting. All political parties who are seated here, we are benefiting from this.
No,
okay, bye-bye. Yeah. We are benefiting very, very strongly.
Debate in the House.
Yes, Martha. I'm moving for adoption.
Moved. Any seconder? Seconded. Say you second on record.
Chair, I second.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe seconded. So it means that because we have two positions, then that this report is going to be subjected to a vote. Are you? Oh. Okay. No. I've got the sound advice that we should not subject it to a vote, but the comments of the different parties are taken note of. And we are expecting a very lively debate on home affairs on Friday in the morning. So thank you very much. Item number 4 has been dispensed with. Then the candidates where perhaps will lead the team in his bedroom. And Mr. Hussein, the Shadow Minister of Home Office.
Oh.
Yeah, there is. Go to the next item on the agenda, adoption of minutes of the 12th of April 2016. Let us just scrutinize attendance, honorable members. Because according to new regulations, I think we're going to be punished if we are not attending some of the meetings. But I'm not yet clear which meeting. So be clear that if you are attending a meeting, it is recorded. Let's find number 1, page 1. Then page 2. And there, I think the main item would be consideration and adoption of outstanding minutes in their sequence. One, to just make sure that the record is correct. Three, Figland. Four, Rabuti. Five, Gumede. Six, Nesi. Seven, Gumede. Eight, Figland. Nine, Nesi. 10, Figland. 11, Nesi. 12, Figland. 13, Nesi. And 14, Figland. And then we went then on to consider the budget vote report that we had just adopted, and then item number five, which was committee decisions, and then we closed the meeting. Any mover? Mr. Nesi has moved. Any second, Mr. Nesi moved adoption.
Second.
Mr. Figland seconded adoption. So we are dispensed with that item. Let us move to the next item on the agenda. That is briefing by the content advisor on the annual operation plan for 2016.
Thank you, Jefferson. Now I've got an closed it by mistake. Okay. Give me a second to open it. Sure. Okay, so the annual performance plan emanates out of the 3-year strategic plan for the committee that we did last year. Last year. And so it's basically just an update from the annual performance plan in the previous year. So the vision, mission, values, and mandate of the committee on the first page of that ACP remain the same from last year. The strategic goals for Parliament for 2014 to 2019 also remain the same. So I'll beg your indulgence to leave that one out in the interest of time. The situation analysis also is relatively, basically just an overview of the main thing to consider when we do an annual performance plan. So there are five of those, which are the NDP, the medium-term strategic framework, the state of the nation address, the budget review report each year, and the legislative program. The first of those, 6.1, you'll see there, is the national development plan. These priorities, again, remain the same, but they are good to be reminded about because we have to basically bear these in mind each year when we consider and oversee the budget and performance of the department. We are making sure that the triple challenge of poverty, inequality, and unemployment are considered, facilitating the acquisition of critical skills needed for economic growth. And we know how the Home Affairs contributes toward that through visas. Building a capable state through improvement in professional staff, improving trust in social stability, and improving the security services improve security and services with citizens. Let me just make this more visible. Sorry, it's not appearing in totality there. I'm not sure if you can see it. Then third, fighting corruption and enhancing accountability, including the use of modern technology, enabling e-government and investor confidence. Improving regional development, working with the South African development community towards efficient, secure, and managed movement of people. We will be getting the migration policy for the country this year, so the regional integration and regional cooperation will be an element that we'll need to consider in part of evaluating that report or that policy. Lastly, transforming society and uniting the nation through documents to access services and overseeing electoral participation. Again, these are like broad mandates over the long term that we'll need to consider over the next couple of years. Medium-term strategic framework is basically the five-year plan for this legal cycle, which what emanates the 14 outcomes of government. The main things there are that all people in South Africa are and feel safe. Secondly, creating and retaining decent employment. So the efficient, effective, and developmental-orientated public service, and lastly, nation-building and social cohesion. So these again are like broad parameters over a 5-year period that emanate out of the kind of 20-year plan of the NDP. And with each of these, they become more and more specific. Then 6.3 are the priorities identified in 2016 State of the Nation Address. The ones relevant to Home Affairs here are, as indicated in our budget report a moment ago, taking advantage of recent changes in visa regulations to boost tourism, addressing concerns from companies about delays in obtaining visas for skilled personnel from abroad, thirdly, improving the access and service delivery to foreign nationals applying for documents at Home Affairs, third, urging all citizens under 18 registered to vote during the first registration weekends, 5 and 6 March, and this will also apply to later registration weekends if they occur. Contributing to marketing the country as a preferred destination for investments, participate in new port facilities and protecting the ocean economy. So Home Affairs with its BMA will be coordinating something along the lines of Coast Guard. So they will also be contributing towards the ocean economy and protecting our interests in that regard. And then eliminating wasteful expenditure within government. I've already seen that Home Affairs is trying to implement some of the austerity measures recommended by government to make sure that they don't have any wasteful and fruitless expenditure in their annual reports. The budget review recommendation report we did at the end of last year had the following recommendations under 6.4 for the three entities, Home Affairs, GPW and the Electoral Commission. These, just to remind you that we keep an eye on these during the year, were to expand awareness by the public of the closing of current late registration of birth in December 2015, ensure that staff are trained in time to deal with more stringent measures being introduced. Secondly, that report that the DHA needs to report before the end of the financial year and progress made on arrangements to source alternative network providers to CETA, which they've already done. Ensuring stringent enforcement of standard operating procedures to improve recording of performance information. So they were lacking in the last annual reports in terms of how they kept record of what they performed on. That they need to endeavor that all provincial manager posts are filled on a permanent basis. Reports, and they needed to report on coordination and collaboration with other government departments in preparing for the rollout of the Border Management Agency by the end of the first quarter of 2016-17, which they have reported to us already. Consider the need to address human resources shortages by filling funded vacancies as a matter of urgency across provinces, bearing in mind that there are certain budget limitations that they won't be able to fill all their positions as they would have been in the past. Next, employing an adequate number of inspectors to all ports of entry. They've already gotten special budget allocations to expand that, but they still need for more. Report the Committee on Recommendations of the Interministerial Committee on Visa Regulations, which we've already had them do. Expand the establishment of visa facilitation services for travellers to South Africa as required. They do have some plans in place already for other countries and extra facilitation services here in the country. We'll monitor the rollout of those. Increasing funding to prioritise the completion of the IT system modernisation program. So they have the special allocations for IT. And the question is whether they'll receive additional funding in outer years if they implement it properly in the current year. The one recommendation for the government printing was that it should continue with arrangements to allow flexibility to employ suitably skilled staff in the transition to a state-owned company. So until such time as they do become a state-owned company, they encourage to consider methods for retaining their staff. Retaining the suitably skilled staff. Electoral Commission should address the findings of the Auditor General. There were some challenges last year, and they'll have additional challenges that they always do in an election year to keep the books on paying all their additional temporary staff, so they'll have to work particularly hard to make sure that they have their books in order. The IEC also need to report on voter registration during the first quarter of 2016. They have reported, and will report again, I'm sure. We have it on our program also. The legislative program put forward by the Department of Home Affairs and their annual performance plan under 6.5, and the next page there, is that they'll be bringing a refugee amendment bill to us, which really the draft version of has already been published for comment. The Water Management Agency Bill also has a draft version that's been open for public comment and will be coming to us in the course of the year, we hope. They indicate the Home Affairs General Law Amendment Bill that then just emanated out of recommendations from the state legal analysis, state legal advice analysis. But whether we'll actually see this year, given the busy legislative mandate we really have, we'll have to see. They'll mention the prevention and combating the smuggling of migrants as on the legislative program, but whether this will be an act or just a set of regulations or international agreements, I'm not sure. They haven't indicated it. And then the state security bill is likely to only come at the end of financial year, if not the beginning of the next financial year. Then what we have as a repeat of the previous year are specific indicators that the committee is monitoring in the annual report. I'm not going to the specific quarterly targets, but it's quite important to just know that the two main points to look at there are the first and third columns. The strategic objectives there and 8 out of the strategic objectives of Parliament as their advisory committees, of which we only have 4 that we need to consider out of the 5. The first of those is basically got to do with legislation. So column 2, the outcome there, basically a summary of what the strategic objective is. So the main legislative indicators that we have for the committee are making sure that draft bills, once they've been done with the NCOP, once we're done with them, a written submission list. Okay, so this is mostly administrative things. We make sure that these things are done and the committee follows the legislative process. We've never had challenges with this in the past. So I don't think members need to worry about this other than coming to meetings. We'll make sure that administration happens properly in the legislation. If you go to then the next page, defining and implementing oversight and accountability model. Oversight is the main work of the committee other than legislation, and it takes up most of our time. So the chief work there, as you see on the third column, is the overseeing of the performance and programs of the DHA, IEC, and DPW, as we do regularly. The one thing where the committee has been challenged in the past is the committee meetings need to be attended regularly, and they might want to punish people in the future, apparently. And then that minutes need to be adopted. So you're going to unfortunately be doing more minutes, one set of meetings per meeting, probably, to make it less work in the end of the year. Planning and budgeting tool has been implemented, so there's a lot more strict guidelines on what the committee can do and spend on. This will also have an effect on the way we do oversight. The portfolio committee strategic plan, which is what we're busy dealing with now, budget both reports of the DHA and also our budget review and recommendation reports. We're also required to do kind of more detailed quarterly reports, which we have started doing, you'll have noticed. We just need to get into the process of adopting those more faster than we have in the past. The strategy in the past has been that over a 5-year electoral cycle, we cover at least 5 provinces. This being an electoral year, we won't be able to cover as many as we usually do. We'll do 2 and probably even 1 this year, depending on what the process happens with the elections. But the one province we haven't covered yet is the Western Cape. So so we'll probably do that in the 3rd quarter, and then Limpopo in the 4th quarter. So we're kind of starting the cycle again. We've covered all the provinces and are kind of going towards the end and starting again. Then as a result of that, then we'll have committee reports that we need to adopt. These in the past have also taken quite long to adopt, and we need to kind of move a little faster on making sure that the reports are adopted as soon after the oversight as possible, so that they are still fresh in our memory. What we'll also do with that is when we go to start peaking provinces, we'll make sure that the reports of the previous oversight visits are considered and token monitored progress. And the committee reports on annual performance happens in the third quarter every year also. Also in the third quarter, then the budget review and recommendation reports come out. Then improving stakeholder engagement, what the Sandland Heart has always invited the provincial managers to come and present to us. And, yes, usually indicated here 8, but it should actually be 9, that we have all provincial managers coming. What we did is we only did 8 last, well, 8 last year because we had very, very recently been to the Northern Cape, so we didn't feel like we needed a repeat of their presentation. Then there's the possibility of attending a workshop, which is most likely to be related to the migration policy of the country, emanating out of the year, at the end of the year. There's also some work that's been done with UNHCR and other NGOs on doing combined workshops or combined seminars at Parliament. We've already had one end of last year. So there might be something happening around Refugee Day this year. Committee minutes made available to public, so this is just keeping a record of what's done at the meeting so that people can check in on it and let them make sure that they're done within a certain period of time. But that's, again, an administrative function, and you don't need to worry about too much, other than adopting minutes as soon as possible. Then the next one is improved public participation. So public meetings, what we usually do is when we go to the provinces, and we've been oversight, we arrange one public meeting where people from the community or stakeholders in the Home Affairs arena can come and have an engagement with the committee, at least one meeting during our oversight trips. So that's going to likely happen on our oversight trips in the third and fourth quarter. And then the program of the committee will also include inviting two non-governmental organizations or stakeholders during the course of the year, so that we can improve our engagement with stakeholders that we don't usually interact with. Then the last strategic objective is developing and implementing a cooperative governance mechanism, which includes broadening intergovernmental oversight and cooperation. So this is got to do with having joint oversight meetings, which we have had in the past. We've improved on this matter, and we'll consider it in the program of the committee as well. Particularly now with the border management agency coming up, there's a lot of interdepartmental aspects happening, particularly in the border, the marine border management arena. So we might well have joint meetings on difficult defense and that on the implications and the participation on the border management agency board. That's likely to come later in the year once the draft bill is given to us. And then lastly, okay, then this relates to our appointment of commissions, of which we've already done one. But there might be some participation in terms of the election of, or not the election, the appointment of a CEO for the government printing works later in the year. So we won't participate in it, we'll be privy to the process. So that's basically what's coming up in next year and how we'll be monitoring it. And that's my sense.
Thank you very much for the hard work and the smart work. So this information at this stage is for our to read, analyze, refine, and then at the intermittent recommend. So we are not going to deliberate much on it, except perhaps if we feel that there is something really drastic that is in here that we cannot correct in a future meeting. So that one then leads to the next point, which is closure of this meeting. So thank you very much. Oh, Mr. Finlay?
Chairperson, I just want to clarify, there was a proposal, I think last year, that we need to do a study tour about the border management. I thought maybe it's supposed to be here also. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Mr. Hussein?
Chair, I just wanted to raise just one matter. You know, on a number of occasions now, we had departmental officials coming to the committee, and because of the shortage of time, not all of the questions could have been answered. And then we are often requested to send in a written response. But I can't recall on a single occasion that we got a written response from any one of the departmental officials. Unless I missed it, but I have not on a single occasion seen it. So I just wanted to make a note of that, and I appreciate if it can be minuted as such. Otherwise, the officials are really, we're wasting our time asking the questions if there's not going to be an answer to a question. I'll appreciate if it can be followed up, please. Thank you.
We have no problem with that. It should be minuted indeed. And then let us follow that one up. And then the CEO, the secretary, what do you have anything to say about that?
On the matter of study tours, we've recommended these in our annual performance plans in previous years, but given the fiscal austerity, we are aware
of that. I'm not on study tours. On the written responses, where we send further questions, and then they should be addressed to the secretariat of the committee, and the secretariat of the committee should report to us, or relay the responses to us. Now, does that take place as promised in committee meeting? That is the question from Honorable Hussein.
So far, I have not received any written response from the department. I remember last day when we met with the provincial managers, it was specifically indicated that questions that they would not respond to, then they should do that in writing. So Sven and I were to make a follow-up on that, to get those written responses.
Can we please have the honor of having the letters that you sent to the department circulated as correspondence to this committee so that we also follow up and perhaps we can assist them in making sure that there is a response. Would that be fine?
Okay.
So I think Mr. Hussein, the Honorable Hussein, is fine. And then the question by Honorable Fidlan, you were beginning to respond to. Respond and then we'll see whether we are satisfied or not.
Benno, we always used to include this kind of thing at a hopeless for study tours, and we can do it. It's just that we're unlikely to be able to perform on that because of the fiscal austerity. So then we put targets for us to achieve, and then we don't achieve it, and it looks bad on the committee. But we know ahead that there's not a lot of money to do this kind of thing. So it's like setting yourself up for failure.
Okay, perhaps with the study tours, we've got to prioritize some so as to get some, and then we can see how far that one takes us. I think when we deal with the report again, in the presence of the chairperson, some of these things then we'll deal with. But I think it was only fair to ask about this. But in the absence of further questions and comments, I propose that we close this meeting as per item number 7 on the agenda. So the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. I'm going to go to the next one.
Thank you.